Welcome all to the Grace Hour Show. We are taking a dive into daily challenges, learning faith in a practical way. We have a great topic here for you today. The topic is the psychology of the inner life is this week's whole overall theme. And then for us today, we have why do we avoid change? Why do we avoid change? We're always around change. Our bodies are changing. Our places where we live are changing. All these things are always changing. So we get to dive into that today. Just welcome Zane. Zane's back with me. Hey, my name is Jesse. Great. Yeah, how you doing today? You doing all right?
I'm doing excellent. Yeah.
What'd you do today?
Well, I mean, I did a little bit of work out in the hot sun. Got a suntan.
What kind
My
of
skin ooh. Was changing colors, yeah. Getting a little burnt. Yeah.
Are you in a roof?
No, I was on a deck.
Okay. On a deck. You do construction work, right?
Yes, okay. Sir.
Cool.
Building
a deck.
Building a deck.
Wow. You're changing the structure you're adding more to.
We are.
Cool. Wow.
Yes, sir.
What kind of this porch deck?
Yep.
Oh man.
Uncovered, so there's no
uncovered
roof. I think a porch has a roof.
Okay. Okay, like an open. Gotcha. Yeah, gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Yep. Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Today, Zane, we have the psychology of the inner life, avoiding change. Let's just dive into it. Maybe we could I mean, like I said before, just like change is a huge part of our lives. There's this outward change, you know, that we could see, like the leaves are changing, everything's changing around us, the seasons. We actually see, I was walking and our head pastor Schaller was outside and, you know, he's just vibrant. He's like, this is great, you know, because it's very hot out here in Baltimore today. Yes, and we haven't had a hot day, but it's great, you know, and people enjoy that change, you know. Yeah. But then there's other things that are more, I guess, complicated, take more time, or a change that really is difficult and we kind of avoid. And I have three different examples with the children of Israel to help us kind of explain different types of changes that happen. The first one is in Exodus 14, and this is 10 through 12. So the Egyptians were being taken out of Egypt from slavery into the wilderness, but going through the Red Sea. And at this point, we could call it was the fear of the unknown. So they said, It would be better that we serve the Egyptians. It would be better that we serve the Egyptians because the Egyptians were coming in at this time and they're fearful of their lives. And so I call it the fear of the unknown. This is one maybe point that we can make. That's why do we avoid change? Because there's unknown. So the Israelites are being led by Moses and there's a big Red Sea, right? And now it's just like, oh no, like, it's like, we don't know what's on the other side kind of thing. Mm-hmm. We don't know where we're being led. There's a unknown factor, but back then I was in slavery, right? Mm-hmm. I was maybe in the bad spot, but I was comfortable with that because it was, I could, calculate it in a way. I knew what was, I worked. I ate, they fed me, and I slept. And then I did it again and again and again. And that brought, like, you know, this familiarity in my life where now there's an unknown. What am I going to do beyond, you know, those walls or those borders or that water? What am I going to do? So this fear of the unknown, I think, is like the first point of why do we not like change?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great one. Just thinking about the natural life versus the spiritual life, because I could be comfortable with where I am and what I know, but that's all on a natural level,
yeah.
Right? I know where my food is coming from. I know where my work is. I know how I'm supported, how I'm sheltered, how I'm protected. I know what I can receive. Like, we're going to talk about, you know, we remembered the leeks and the onions and mm-hmm. the cucumbers that we ate, right? It's like those things that are in my mind that I know I can have. Mm. But then God is calling them to something outside of what they know.
Yeah.
But it's something better. But the natural life, it's confined to its own imagination. Mm. But a spiritual life is unlimited in faith.
Yeah.
And faith brings me beyond myself and what I know.
Mm. Yeah. It goes beyond sight, you know? And so we're called to live by faith and not by sight. Mm. And too often we are looking around and we are living by sight, you know? And that causes fear, that causes anxiety, all these things.
Yeah.
But then there's a like the calling of God saying, like, trust me, and we'll get into that. But why does somebody avoid change? And kind of our brains are wired this way to seek familiarity and seek safety. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't want the dangerous road in a way. It doesn't want it wants the path of least resistance. How can I get by and get what I need? And, you know, that's it. Like, mm-hmm. I don't have to work extra hard or think more or risk much. Yeah. But faith is kind of like a risk. It's a leap. Mm-hmm. It's a leap of faith because mm-hmm. We're not trusting in ourselves. As for them, it's just like, I'm trusting in myself. I know back there, you know, in Egypt, I know what I got there.
Yeah.
I have no clue over there. I'm not taking that risk.
Yeah.
I count on the call and it just doesn't line up. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. So that's maybe change. One aspect of change as far as decision making,
mm-hmm.
right? Because the Israelites had to decide, we're going to leave Egypt. Mm-hmm. That's like, we're going to go here. Moses in Hebrews 11, he had to make some hard decisions, right? It says that he refused to be called the son of the daughter of Pharaoh.
Yeah.
He said, like, I'm not, like, I know who I am. I'm an Israelite. I'm a Hebrew. Mm. So I'm not going to be called her son. And then he considered, right? So he refused. He considered the reproach of Christ was greater wealth than all the treasures of Egypt. Mm. So that's a decision, you know. He defected from Egypt. He made that as a decision. Mm. He had all the comfortability. He had all the provision. But he decided that actually there's something better. If I make this decision to change my family, my name, my position of authority, I'll go into something else. I'll go with God. Mm. You know, I'll go with God and whatever he says, I'll do. Wherever he takes me, I'll go. Now I'm ultimately in the first decision, he kind of went the wrong path, you know, by taking it into his own hands. But God honored that faith, led him to the wilderness. 40 years later, God reveals his name to Moses. I am, right? So Moses, I wonder if Moses is in the desert in the wilderness thinking, why did I choose this? I'm in the wilderness with the sheep. I could be the next Pharaoh. I could be having all the pleasures of the Egyptian world. But then 40 years later, God appears to him in a bush and says, I am, you know? Mm. So he finds who God is. He finds the heart of God. And that's like that's the real goal. That's the highest level of life he could have achieved where he meets God. But it took that decision to change, you know, like you were saying, like considering, making the calculation. So we're afraid of it sometimes. We're afraid of the unknown. And in Moses' case, it really was like the best thing that he could have ever decided is to choose Christ.
And I like you brought up like he tried first, you know, and like I think that like, you know, maybe we want to change and we try to do it in our own way. But we end up failing and it kind of doesn't work out, you know? So I kind of like, okay, I'll just do what I have to do. But like, I love how like God used that, you know, like he tried himself, but it didn't get far. But then God led him into the wilderness and really taught him there, you know, and I had a purpose for him there too as well. But then it wasn't until like God produces inward change, you know, then, and it still took, like you see throughout the book, you know, the this whole book of or story or of Moses' life that he was constantly having to deal with this kind of crossroad where, all right, I could change or go this way, or, you know, I could go, you know, God's way and be redirected. But then after later on, you read like he strikes the rock, you know, like stuff like that. So, I think it's like we started off this topic, like there's change all around us. We are constantly changing, you know, outwardly, but also inwardly. And we could maybe talk about that too as well. So, but you mentioned the leeks. You mentioned the cucumbers.
The leeks.
And now I'm hungry. But and that's in Numbers 11. And so this is another reason maybe why we avoid change. And so they were complaining about the food. Mm-hmm. And so now they're in the wilderness. Now they made it this far. So now we're in the middle. We're in the wilderness. And now they're hungry. They want flesh. They want meat. They want fish. And they remember that they were fed back in Egypt. And so this brings just a point of comfort. Why don't we change? Because of comfort. Because kind of I'm fed. I got what I need. I don't need much else, you know, in my life. I got everything I need. I don't need anything else. And so I live in a comfort life because I could predict it. I know what's coming. I know I'm being fed. I know I'm provided for, etc. And so they focus on what, and so now they're fed manna, but they're fed in the wilderness though. They're fed manna, but they remember, you know, what they had back then and they're comparing, but it's amazing that God still provided food for them in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. And so they're focusing on something that, you know, maybe they had back then, but they're not focusing on what God is providing them now. Yeah. Maybe it's not as good as what it used to be, but God is providing for you in a way. And that's just like amazing mindset. Okay. Yeah. Maybe it's different, you know, this change that I had, but now God's providing me in a different way and like, and be thankful in that. So comfort.
Yeah. Comfort. That's a good point.
You're not my God.
You're in comfort. You're not my God. Yeah. And God, doesn't he calls us out of our comfort, right?
Yeah.
It says in Deuteronomy 8, like I let you hunger so that I could test you and see what's in your heart.
Mm.
You know, the reason that they were hungry in the wilderness was because God wanted to see into their heart. So that's a good point, is that what is in our heart will eventually come out, right? Like you're talking about the outward change is really just a manifestation of what is going on in my heart. Mm. You know, like we, throughout our life, we change our clothes, we change our hairstyle, you know, we change things about our outward appearance. And, sometimes it has to do with what's in our heart, you know, that if I'm, something is going in my heart, I could express it in an outward way. Maybe I'm looking for acceptance. Maybe I'm looking for popularity or something like that. And we've all gone through that in our life. Mm. But, in this case, God wanted to bring what was in their heart out. So he let them hunger. He brought a test. He brought a trial to see. Mm. And here in Numbers 11, we can see what's in their heart, you know, that, oh, like we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt that cost nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic, you know, the sauteed omelets and the, you know, they have everything they want over there. But now our strength is dried up and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at. You know, they're despising the provision that God gave, you know. And I mean, if they had just, like, you know, if they had just, let's say in a perfect world, their heart was aligned with God and they were submitted. In a matter of weeks, they would have been in the promised land.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a matter of weeks, they would have taken over the first city and they would have had, you know, corn and the fruit of the land, rather than the manna. Mm. But this shows their heart that they're like, also comfort can kind of get in my mind. Right. And then my memory is wrong. Mm. You know, like they're remembering something like out of like a paradise, you know, like a resort.
Yeah.
But they forgot they were slaves. Mm-hmm. They forgot that they were working in the sun all day and that they were slaves. And they said it costs nothing except your entire life. You know, you're slaves there. So, comfort and the memory of what's familiar can kind of morph when I'm tested, and it can be something I want to go back to.
Wow.
But maybe it's actually not what's best for me. And maybe that's the next point. Like you said, the first thing why we don't change is the fear of the unknown. The second thing is maybe because I'm comfortable. And the third thing could be because I don't actually trust God.
Mm.
And that's the point here, is that they didn't trust that God would give them the best thing for them. And we're all guilty of that at some point in our life, that we don't trust that God is going to give us the best. So we want what's comfortable. We want what we know. Mm. But God actually wants to give us the best. And, maybe we can talk a little, if you want to go into the rich young ruler. Because God wanted to give, you don't want to do it.
I don't want to change. I don't want to change the topic right now, okay? No, this is good, because this is in the next point. I had one more in it.
Yeah, do it.
Totally, it really just goes right into
tie
that.
Tie up the bow.
Yeah, yeah. And it's because it deals with the Israelites again.
Yeah.
You know, and this is now the third phase. This is them going into now the promised land. Uh-huh. This is them. The spies are sent out. They come with a report. So this is Numbers 14, a few pages after. But it says they want to go back to Egypt because now they feared for their life and their family. They feared for their life and family. And so, and this is kind of what you're saying, trust. This is could also play in my security. You know, I'm thinking about my family. I'm thinking about, you know, the household. So I want to go back to that rather than going into this unknown, this fear of going into the promised land. Because and that's an important point, just like that fear can override the faith. Like fear can be so overwhelming sometimes that it really, my faith is that mustard seed of faith, or whatever faith I have. Maybe it's my own, I'm kind of mustering up my own faith. I'm in my, you know, and that's like a point too as well. Like it's God's faith in us that's working through us. Like I could depend on his faith because he is faithful, and he's not a man that he should lie. Like he's the one, his faith I could trust in. Yeah. And so if he's leading me, I mean, first he went through the first point. Unknown. All right, now you're in the wilderness. He got you past there. Now it's like, okay, I'm in the wilderness. Now you're in comfort. You want food. He give you food. Like he's provided for you each step of the way. And now you're at a point where he's done that already so many times in your life. And maybe like this is a good point. Is thinking, you know, about, wow, like look what God has brought me through already.
Yeah.
Like we tend to forget that so easily because I come across to a crossroad where now it's just like, all right, now my family, and my security. And then it's the trust point that you were saying, do I really trust Moses? Because here they're saying, give us another leader to take us back the other way.
Crazy,
because I don't fully trust in the leader too as well. Yeah. I mean, but
that's a crazy plan, huh?
Yeah.
Give us a leader. We're going back.
Give us somebody. And that's a good point. Give us somebody who could agree with the way we think,
yeah,
and what I want, and so I could we could go back.
Yeah.
Who's that leader? It's not me, but can we raise up one?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh my
it's not
God.
Not Moses. I mean, the guy, you know, he was through the plagues. The guy couldn't speak, and he had his brother there. Is it brother?
Yeah.
His brother there, and he spoke well, and then they led us through the Red Sea. That was amazing, but that was, you know, so long ago.
Yeah.
Oh my God. You know, so but
and yeah. Also, so some of us are afraid of change. Some of us are addicted to change, or we think change is the answer for all of my problems, right?
Yeah.
Because we're in the wilderness. Well, let's change the plan and let's go back where we came from. You know? Yeah. So maybe if I move to another house, my problem will go away. Maybe if I get another job, my problem will go away. Maybe if I get another spouse, my problem will go away.
Yeah.
And that's actually how people think, you know? Some people. Not in this church, no.
yeah.
But that's how we think as human beings. You know, this change is going to fix my problem. Mm. So we're kind of finding the balance in our life, and we're being led by God to know when change is from Him and to know when change is just a result of our flesh. Mm. That I think if we go back to Egypt, it's going to be better. Mm. And I don't think so, actually. It's probably not going to be better when you get back there.
Yeah.
It's not going to be the same as you remember.
And I forgot to bring this up, but this is I read this somewhere. We often prefer a known pain over an unknown future. Like that job, you know, I hated the job. I complain about it all the time, but I won't change. I won't leave it because, you know, it gives me what I need, but there's an unknown future. And so it like kind of cancels, cancels control in a way. Mm-hmm. Like I think I have control, but I'm lacking in this area. I have pain in this area, but I don't want to change that because I have no clue what's on that other side. And so that kind of ties into that. But this, you know, this thinking of like not trusting in, you know, either a leader or trusting in God, like there's a trust issue, and that's like really an identity issue too. But there's a thing called a catastrophic thinking. So it's always thinking the worst.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If I do this, I could stumble, I could fall, and I could roll down a hill and snowball effect, and then I could die, you know. Yeah. It's all catastrophic thinking.
Yeah.
It's always thinking the worst of what's ahead. And so that's another, and it's a real thing of just why we avoid change, because I don't want, something bad might happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we put this guard up, and, it's just like, can God work with that, you know? Mm-hmm. Like he can, and, you know, through inward change. But really, so it's really our thinking. Like, it's our hearts and it's our minds too. It's all internal. It's all internal that, you know, and that's only what God can really change.
Yeah.
You know, the real change.
Yeah, so Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I do not change. Mm. So he's the one that doesn't change ever.
And that's good.
Yeah. Right?
He doesn't change. Why do I have to change?
Yeah. That's a good question. He doesn't change in his power, in his attributes, in his plan, you know?
Yeah.
And that's kind of like our solar system, right? Like the sun is at the center. Everything else revolves around the sun. You know, we're flying around the sun. The sun is remaining the same, but we're orbiting around the sun as our Milky, our solar system, right? We're in the Milky Way, but our solar system is our little planets. But God doesn't change.
Yeah.
But so we are changing to become like Him.
Mm.
So that is the change that's taking place. Now, there's a change that happens in different decisions that we make. Maybe it's a change in our friend group. Maybe it's a change in the habits that we have in our life. Maybe it's a change of heart, change of our ways. But then Paul says in Romans 7, like he says he wants to change what he can't.
Mm.
You know, he wants to change that inner life, like the outward, you know, the sinful stuff. I don't want to do it, but I do. So he wants to change that, but he can't. Right? So, like Adam, the first Adam, the old man, he can't change himself.
Mm. Amen.
But God says, you become like me, actually. You become like Christ. You change from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. You're being changed and molded to be like Christ. Mm. And that's the real change that takes place on the inside that we really need. And where does that change come from? And it really comes from our affection. What is in our heart? Mm. And what do we love? You know? And that's really the main point is if I love Christ, then I'll follow him. And I'll start to become like him, and all these other decisions that I have to make will fall in line. You know, all the other, the friend group, the job, the career, whatever it is that, you know, in my thinking, you know, changing in my way of thinking about my friends, my spouse, about this certain particular issue, whatever it is, like, I'll change because I really want Christ and I love him and I trust him, and he can teach me how to think about this situation, or he can teach me how to make the right decision because I trust in him. You know, so what do I really love? What do I really set my affections on? Because we're talking about like the psychology of the inner life, you know, what at the very heart of the matter, it's, do you love me? Christ says to Peter, you know, and that's really the question. Cause if you love me, you believe that I want the best for you. You believe that I'm all powerful. You believe that although you're surrounded by the Red Sea and the mountains on either side and the Egyptians are coming after you, that I'll take care of you. I'll make a way. So what is my attitude in that moment? Is my attitude like raising my fist at God? Like, you brought me here. Like, why did you bring me here? Sometimes maybe it is actually.
Yeah.
But also it can be like Moses is praying, like, Lord, what are you going to do? Like, you brought this people here. What are you going to do? It's up to you. And then God says, just raise up the staff.
Yeah.
Open the sea. But it's really in those situations, what is my heart? What is my heart before God? Am I trusting him? That's the most important thing, really, at the end of the day. Because that is that inner trust will facilitate all of the decisions I have to make in my life. It'll facilitate all of the attitudes that I have throughout the course of my day. And I'm so thankful that that God looks at the heart. You know,
yeah.
1 Samuel 16, I think it's 13 or 14. I like man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart, you know, so I could be judged by all of everyone around me. Right. But Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:4, I don't even judge myself because I know that God is the one that judges me. So what boldness can we live in this life? What amazing, courage that we can have, that we know that if God is leading me in a change in my life, I can trust him. You know, I can trust him because he's got the best for me. Abraham goes up to the top of the mountain and he's believing that God is going to raise up Isaac, right? He had faith that God would raise Isaac from the dead, you know, and God, and he puts the knife, and then Christ comes and he says, Abraham, Abraham, you know?
Yeah.
Like I'll provide a way. And then there's the ram. So
that's good.
So God is calling us out of our comfort, you know. Maybe there is the comfort that we have in our life, you know, and the rejoice in the day of prosperity. Rejoice, enjoy it. God has given us all things freely to enjoy. Enjoy that comfort, but it's not your God. It's not number one in your life. And God calls us out of it. And where does he call us to but to the cross? And he calls us to the cross. And I was in line the other day getting food somewhere, and I asked the guy at the register, like, you know, like, how's your day going? And he said, you know, I'm doing well. I had school today. And it's like, oh, okay. What school do you go to? And he said, I'm in high school. So I was like, wow, I remember being in that position. You know, what decision am I going to make next? And I was like, do you know what you're going to do after high school? And he said, no, I don't really know yet. And I said, you know, like, the best thing you could do is trust God, ask him. And he smiled and he was like, that is the best thing I can do. I know. And it was just amazing. Like, yeah, when a change is coming, the change of a season, a change because a big decision we have to make, like, just coming to the cross and giving my will to God is the best thing I could do. It's the best thing I could do. And he'll take me, and I'll go through the cross. And then on the other side is the resurrection life, because the cross isn't the end. You know, and that's the beautiful thing about this story, that the Israelites are coming to the Red Sea, is that it is a metaphor. It is an image that we can have in our mind to understand what happens, you know, it's a metaphor for the cross when they come to the Red Sea and they go through is the burial, and then they come out on the other side and there's the resurrection life, you know. And it's a metaphor for the Christian life, you know. The whole journey from Egypt to the promised land is a metaphor for our Christian life, going through the cross into the promised land, which is the resurrection life of a spirit-filled believer. So
and then there's the wilderness too.
There's the wilderness.
Yeah.
Right? There's
but the wilderness. Focusing on, yeah, you said some, that was really good. There's a message in all of that. Yeah. But, you know, I would say like focus on God and not man. I like that. Like man's so outwardly focused, but God looks at the heart. And, but then we could examine ourselves, right? And we do this in with the scripture, you know. I don't want to do this mentally myself so much because I'll keep on condemning myself, but with the scripture, I'd examine and it'll show dark parts of my heart that like maybe is not healed yet, or I have unforgiveness in there or different things, because our hearts are wicked. But now I'm focusing on God and his thoughts and his words, what his word says for me. And I let it kind of cleanse me, right? The washing of the word, it's pure and it'll cleanse me out and it'll take unfamiliarity, it'll take fear out little by little and it washes it away. And I focus on God because I know he's looking at my heart. You know, we're so people focused and outwardly change focused that we're so focused on that change, but then we're dying inside and we're just holding things in and not letting God heal and really just, bring new life into our hearts. And, there's another point with just this whole Israel thing is it's an identity struggle. The children of Israel were freed, right? Physically, but inwardly they were bound still. They were still bound, from slavery. And so this change requires a new identity change. What is my identity? Maybe I was in the world and I end up going to a church and I receive Christ, like the pastor says, receive Christ as your savior. And I pray that prayer. And then it's just like, okay, I don't feel any change. The old is not, you know, it's not going to be all dealt. It is dealt away positionally. God, he has saved you once you accept him in your heart. Yes, but then there's the sanctification. It is a process because I have these old identities in slavery, like the Egypts, of what my old life used to be. And it goes back to how my brain was wired. I just have this, I'm used to habits and different things. So this is how it was. This is how I was raised. And that's how I do things. But now you received a new identity in Christ, like you were saying, going through the sea. And there's a resurrection life in the end, but there has to be this change of identity. And so now I receive the word, the way God sees me, that I am a child of God. You know, what manner of love is this that the Father has bestowed upon us to call us the sons of God? Like this new identity, and it comes with time, and habits aren't broken like overnight. Sometimes they can be, but usually God works like he did in Egypt, with the people of Israel going through the wilderness. He wanted their heart. He wanted an inward change, and they were so outward, you know, just what was it? Because of, the lack of faith, they didn't enter into rest, right, in Hebrews. Mm-hmm. And so having faith and trusting in God and knowing that we do have a new identity in Christ Jesus. And that's why Moses is able to walk away after so much time and say, it's worth it.
Yeah.
It's so worth it, you know?
Yeah, that's amazing. And like that process of changing, when we're being transformed in our inner life, you know, we're becoming like him, and we're finding this new identity that we have. Like one example is, I like to think of the example of Peter. You know, there's two times, like the first time that Peter saw Jesus from the boat, during the storm, when Jesus was walking on the water, Peter said, if it's you, Lord, call me out. Call me out to you. So Jesus says, okay, like come. And then Peter wants to walk on the water. He does this amazing thing where he's trusting that he can walk on the water. He does. It's amazing. Right? So cool. And that's a great metaphor or just a picture for us that we're in our boat. We're in our boat and we're comfortable there. Mm. You know, I mean, in their case, they're in the storm. You know, there's not a comfortable situation, but the boat is providing safety. It's providing, you know, they're not going to drown because they're in the boat. But Peter, he like is able to step out onto the water because he has a measure of faith where he knows that there's something greater than what's going on in the boat. Like in the boat, there's a lot of the calculations all add up. It's like, we're going to be safe here. We're going to be provided for
their life. They grew up on the boat.
Yeah. But then there's the aspect of faith takes me on the water, something that it's never been done before, something that I don't really know is possible, but Christ is there, you know? So there's that faith that there's something beyond my natural that I can experience, and it's spiritual and it's God doing it in my life. Yeah. And then Peter gets a taste of that, you know, it's an amazing thing.
Yeah.
But then in John 21, when Jesus is on the sea shore, he's on the shore, and Peter realizes it's Jesus. He doesn't care about walking on the water anymore. But what does he do? He jumps out of the boat and he swims to shore so he can be with Christ. Mm. So, it's something changed in his heart where he wanted that, like that awesome miracle to happen. But then he goes from that to just, I just want to be with Christ. Mm. I just want to be where he is.
Wow.
You know, so he is changing. Like he's growing in his fellowship with Jesus. Mm. He just wants to be where he is, you know?
That's so
good. It's amazing. And we kind of change like that as well.
Yeah.
That we learn that the most amazing thing in this life is to have communion with Christ.
Wow.
Fellowship with him. That he is forgiven all of our sin, and he just wants to be in fellowship with us too. Mm. Like the sin issue is gone. Like it's dealt with. Now let's focus on who he is and learn about him and grow in love with him. But that's just like a metaphor of like Peter is changing in his own life, in his own heart, just to be close to Christ. And that's what matters. Mm. You know, he found that real identity. My identity isn't in like this miracle that happened. My identity is in the fact that I'm with Christ, and that's all I want. And you know I love you, Lord. You know, you know my capacity. You know I love you. I want to love you more, but you know I do. You know. And then Jesus says, "Feed my sheep." You know.
Wow.
In your capacity, do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Then like Peter wanted so bad. Like, yeah, I love that. I'm thinking of that song. You call me out upon the water. So good. But it's an internal surrender, you know? Yeah. Like that is like, can I surrender my heart, my life to God and trust in him? And now I'll bring in the rich young ruler that you brought up at the beginning.
Been waiting.
Just the rich young ruler is a prime example of this. You know, he was all external obedience. What do I need to do? You know, what commandments do I need to do? Oh, I've done all of them, you know? And then what does Jesus go? He goes right to the heart, you know, and he says, sell everything you have and follow me. And then it says he couldn't, like he was broken. Like he wanted it so bad, but he was so bound by his external things, his riches, his money, whatever he had, he couldn't give it up, but he wanted it so bad. And yeah, this could be a thing like the world does. The world gives you these things and it could give you, you know, wealth. It could give you money, fame, whatever it is, but those things are like binding in a way. And then once we get a hold of them, it's kind of hard to let go. And the rich young ruler couldn't even let it go.
Yeah.
He wanted that that internal obedience in a way and internal surrender, but he just couldn't, you know, the world had kind of like a hold on him and, like, you know, very sad, but it's, And it's the same mirror of, you know, as the children of Israel, Jesus says, you know, sell everything, and he turned back. What did the Egyptians want to do? We want to go back. Mm-hmm. It's always this looking back, like I have this better life, when Jesus is really like, I give you life, and I give everybody life. Everybody receives this, but a life with me is totally different, and it's actually better. It's actually better than that old life. And too many times we want to go back, you know? But yeah, so choosing what is familiar over what is really better. So, yeah, interesting, but. Yeah. Like, what can we say?
Yeah, know? I mean, the final point would be that there's the ultimate change. Mm. You know, the ultimate change at the very end is that Jesus comes back to get his bride, right? That he comes back, and the dead in Christ will rise, and they'll receive their glorified body, and the living on earth, they'll be translated. They'll be changed, right? They'll be their body will be changed to a glorified body. That's the ultimate change, is that we receive that glorified body, and then all of that inner life is displayed in glory. Mm. And I mean, this life is so short, you know, like we have 70 years, 80 years by reason of strength, right? Psalm 90. But then there's eternity to come, you know, eternal life. And we're living for that eternal life. We're living for knowing that one day Christ will come back and the spiritual things will be seen. We'll no longer live by faith, but we'll see what our faith had believed in. And we'll see that glory that was hidden from our natural eyes. Mm. And let's live for that. Let's live for that future. Let's live for that day that Christ comes back. Let's live in reverence, in fear, in expectation, in anticipation that this is a reality. This spiritual life is the reality. You know, there's so much more than what meets the eye. You know, we are able to walk on the water. There is a spiritual life that goes beyond what we can calculate. So let's trust God. Let's trust him for these decisions. Let's trust him in our finances. Let's trust him in changing the sinful habits in our life. Let's trust him in changing our heart. Let's trust him in leaving a friend group behind. Let's trust him in serving the body, you know, serving somebody that's lowly and poor. In loving the lost, in going on outreach and sharing our faith. You know, we are afraid of it sometimes. We kind of shudder at the thought, but let's change our mind, because this day is coming where Christ will return, where we will meet him in the clouds, and what is faith shall be turned into sight. And it's going to be more real than we ever imagined. And we avoid change because we don't trust, because we have a fear of the unknown, because we're comfortable. But the more we dig into this book, the more that we learn of the things that are going to come, where the more we learn of our identity, like you're talking about, the more we believe, like Moses believed, that the reproach of Christ is greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt. He made that decision when he probably had like a gold plated necklace on, you know. He's like, this is it. This is all that you have to offer me. And Moses, with all the education of the Egyptians, he had a life of faith that superseded any education, any wealth, any power or authority in this life. And you know, he found God. Mm. And that's what we want to find. And if change has to happen, I want to find God. I want to find God because he is the best thing in this life. Mm. Right?
Yeah.
He is the best thing in this life. Mm. He's the treasure in the field. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He tells the sun it can come up every morning.
Yeah.
Right? And the waves stop where he tells them. He is the bright and morning star. He's the treasure. Mm. So let's lean into him. When we put our hands to the plow, let's not turn back. But let's go where he sends us. Let's eat what he feeds us. Mm-hmm. Let's worship him. Let's trust him. Let's know him and mm-hmm. tell others about him. So this change that happens in our life, we have the fear of the unknown, but we have faith. We have comfort, but actually we have the cross. And the cross teaches us that the heart of God is better than comfort, and we'll mm-hmm. find it. We have the fear for our life, our family, our mistrust, but we have the God that he is the one that we trust, and we know him, and he's proven himself over and over mm-hmm. again. So those are just a couple words yeah. of exhortation and love for ourselves, yeah, for me, needed. For you.
Yeah.
And let's not be afraid of the change, but Amen. let's lean into him.
Wow. And maybe here's some questions for our listeners. Thank you for joining us today. But maybe you're facing change. Just ask yourself, what am I afraid of losing? What am I afraid of losing? Second is, what has God asked me to trust him with? And then third, what am I holding on to? That's something he's maybe asking me to let go. Just different questions you can think about while you're listening. And give it to God. Mm-hmm. Talk with him. Fellowship with him. Commune with him. And there's a Pastor Stevens message that says, don't change yourself, change your garments. And God, Jesus is the one who's changing our garments, you know. The enemy of the world says we're filthy, but God says no, he's yeah. clean. Because I purchased him with Amen. The blood of Christ, and he is cleansed. So thank you so much for joining us today. We hope you like this, and you just enjoy some change, this change of weather, but also internally you want to make some changes yourself too as well, and give it before God and allow him to do it. Allow him to make the change. He's the way maker and the change maker. I'm remixing here. So thank you guys so much again, and God bless you, and just keep seeking him, and you will find him.
Amen.
Thank you, Zane.
Hey.